Are you ready for a super weekend?
Super.
Right. You used to call it the, you know, you can't call it the Super Bowl. You had to call it like the big game. I don't know if this is just the big moon, but they haven't trademarked anything. But a super moon, a real super moon is coming this weekend. And to talk about that, we go to the folks who know all about what's happening in the sky. The folks from NASA. We have NASA scientist Naji Castro joining us this morning. Good morning, Naji.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So I've heard supermoon used before. I mean, we see a supermoon on occasion. What is making this weekend really exciting for you?
Okay, so that's actually a great point. We do use the supermoon term a lot, but this supermoon is actually, well, in terms of what it is, a full moon actually happens to coincide with the moon being at its perigee, which is its closest point in its elliptical orbit in relation to the Earth. So this supermoon is going to be so special because of that perigee alignment to the Earth. So it's going to appear a lot brighter and a lot closer in the sky. And we haven't had this phenomenon happen since the year 1948, and we won't get that chance again until the year 2034.
What causes it to appear so big?
So it's just that perigee point. So it's the point where it's closest in its orbit to the Earth. So it's the closest it can get to us, so it'll be about 7% closer than the full moon that we're usually accustomed to.
So the fact that it's close and it's the full moon gives the best possible view of this.
That's correct.
And when is the peak of that taking place?
So the peak of that is actually on November 14th, but you can go outside about 2 or 3 days before and you can start seeing that full moon. So you're going to get a more exquisite view of the moon, and it's just going to appear brighter and bigger, and especially to those that are used to looking up in the sky.
Does the supermoon help researchers in any kind of way because it is so close?
Not exactly. For example, with the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, we have that mapping the lunar surface, so that's already at a predetermined distance from the moon. But so from our point of view, it does not make it any easier.
So when we hear things and we talk about NASA sending things to Mars or one of those crafts that spend out through the different parts of the solar system, we have currently something that's kind of roaming around the moon, kind of tracking it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's a very, very impressive piece of technology. The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter has been mapping for more than 7 years now. And on the daily, it just provides us with exquisite mapping and more detailed imaging of the moon. And one of the most important things that we've found recently is the moon's actually changing at a faster rate than we initially thought. And one of the most surprising things is that before we used to observe that perhaps the Apollo astronaut tracks were going to be gone in about millions of years, but now it seems they're actually going to be gone in tens of thousands of years.
When you say the moon is changing, what are you noticing, and what exactly is changing about it?
So we're noticing that it's being impacted by a surprising number of meteorites. So it's just constantly being bombarded more than we were able to observe in former years.
So when we look at the moon, we think it's kind of just sort of stagnant, sort of up there. It's sort of safe. We always see it up there. But you're telling me through this observation, you're actually seeing other debris and things come from space that are hitting the surface of the moon.
That's right. If you look at imaging more of the Apollo era in contrast with LRO imaging, you're going to see a more cratered surface, and that's publicly available to everyone to look at. So I encourage you to go look at the science that LRO is publicly making available.
How do we go do that?
You can go to www.nasa.gov/LRO, and you can also follow us on different social media platforms.
Doctor, with the impacts of meteors on the moon, does it make it unrealistic to have any, down the road, any sort of above-ground structure on the moon?
It does not make it an impossibility, no.
What got you involved in this sort of an endeavor? What
was So I was actually always pretty interested in space since childhood. So initially I wanted, like lots of children, to be an astronaut. But I also saw a lot of the other benefits that I could help with in NASA science, and that's pretty much where I started.
When people are coming, observing this, and you say this is something that hasn't happened until 1948, And again, it won't happen again until 2034.
That's right.
So this is something very special for people to go out and kind of look towards the sky. Of course, unlike some sort of other things that you have to see, it doesn't take a lot to not notice that there's the supermoon in the sky. People are wondering who left the light on outside pretty much.
That's right. And this is a great chance for people to start taking account of the moon and how it changes. And if you start training your eye, you will be able to see these changes a lot easier.
Sounds great. Well, we appreciate your time this morning and letting people know what's going on. And, of course, I guess stargazers are the only ones that really don't like this weekend, right? Pretty much it wipes out any good look of the constellations when you've got a supermoon in the sky. But it's obviously a unique event. Dr. Najee Castro, thank you for spending your time with us this morning.
Thank you so much, and happy Veterans Day to everyone, all the vets out there.
Thanks.